Lord be with you.
A
reading from the Holy Gospel, as written to us by Luke. Filled with the Holy Spirit, Jesus returned from the Jordan, and he was led by the Spirit into the desert for 40 days to be tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and when they were over, he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live on bread alone." Then he took him up, and he showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a single instant. And the devil said to him, "I shall give to you all this power and glory, for it has been handed over to me, and I may give it to whomever I wish. All this will be yours, if you but worship me." And Jesus said to him in reply, "It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him alone shall you serve." Finally, he led him to the holy city, Jerusalem. And he made him stand on the highest walls of the temple. And he said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you. And with their very hands they will support you, lest you dash your foot against a stone." And Jesus said to him in reply, "But it also says, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." And when the devil had finished every temptation, he departed from him for a time. This is the gospel of the Lord. This same gospel, in its three different accounts, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, is always reserved for this first Sunday of Lent. So you've probably heard it many times. And you perhaps wonder, why do we give this reading such importance? Well, first of all, let's have a little tiny lesson on how to read sacred texts. They don't write in highly abstract, conceptual language like we're used to now. Sacred literature is always filled with picture words. And it's picture words that we remember. It's something we can see in our mind. And this gospel is a perfect example of that. So there's so many things you can comment on, and the most I can do is just a few. Of course, the whole notion of 40 days, the first line of this gospel, is precisely why we created these 40 days of Lent. Because Jesus went through a time of seeming purification or trial, and so we send ourselves, along with that same spirit, into this same season of renewal. Notice that each of the temptations is preceded by the same verse, "If you are the Son of God." The first way the evil one tempts any of you is to make you doubt your divine identity. Once you think you're no good, once you think you're of the devil, you're lost. The key proclamation of the gospel is to announce to you who you are. And Jesus is the one who we could say never doubts that he is the Son of God. And yet, ironically, in this gospel, he's treated very much as a human being. This doesn't sound like God. In fact, he sounds very human, the very fact that he can be tempted and that he could be subject to temptation. Then, and there's many different levels of interpretation in these beautiful picture words and picture stories, but you could say the first temptation is to be special, to be spectacular, to use religion for miracles and show. And that's what low-level religion does. It doesn't live by faith. It lives by miracles, Jesus, ironically, refuses to work a miracle. He says, no, you got to go deeper than that. Then you'll just follow me because I'm a miracle worker. But you've got to learn what the food really is that you need. What is your real hunger about? I'm not going to turn stones into bread, even when I'm hungry. Because only when you fast and wait and pray and hope do you find out what you really want and what you really need and what you really desire. What you first think is almost always wrong. I just need to go to the Pizza Hut. Well, you'll satisfy that hunger, and 10 minutes later, if the inner hunger has not been satisfied, of course, you'll be hungry again. Then the second temptation is the temptation to power. Notice that up to this point in all three Gospels, Jesus has said or done nothing. Because until each of us has faced our own temptations to the misuse of power, you know what? We'll almost always abuse it. Do you know most arguments, even with your dear wife and your dear husband, they're really not about what you think they're about. They're almost always about control and power. We all want to be on top. Every little argument, from the political arguments to the arguments of war to the arguments of family, are who's in control? Who's in control? And if we haven't faced that deep need to want to win, want to defeat the other side, even our wife, even our family, we'll pretty much live a very superficial life. And that's what we have, even in our politics. It's just all about winning, that's all. Not about truth, not about authenticity, not about the love of the people, but winning is the only game left in America. And here we have Jesus not concerned about winning at all. I'll give you all this power and glory if you'll but bow down and worship me. You see, if you want power too much, you always, in some way or another, have to worship the devil. You have to bow down before money and importance and influence. And if that's what you want, you can have it. But you know what? You're almost always going to sell your soul. And so you're being warned at the beginning of Lent against selling your soul for any kind of influence. Maybe it's not the big power of the politicians, but maybe just the little power that you want over your family or your neighborhood or over the church or whatever groups you belong to or at work. And then the final temptation, it seems to me, is to the misuse of religion itself. And this is probably most aimed at people like me, we priests, who can use religion not really to point to God, but to make ourselves indispensable, to make ourselves more important than we really are. And so he leads him up to the highest walls of the temple. The symbolism is clear, that even religion can be used for false purposes. We're so lucky that right now Papa Francisco is traveling in Mexico and modeling a completely different kind of religion. He avoids all misuse of power and tries to identify, as a gospel person does, with powerlessness and with the powerless people instead of with power and money and war, like so much of the history has identified with. So we're lucky to live in a time where it appears we have a Pope who has faced these temptations that Jesus faced, and in my opinion, he's passed the test. And that's why he deserves to be the Holy Father. He deserves to be speaking to all the world, and we might say, why all the world is listening. But notice in this third temptation that even the devil is quoting Scripture. that you can use Scripture not to be sent on a journey of powerlessness, but to be right. And look at the history of Christianity. It's largely been arguments about who's right. And we pull out Scriptures to prove that we're right and someone else is wrong. That, of course, is another misuse of power and a misuse of religion. When we use the Scriptures correctly, they're to admit that sometimes we also are wrong. And we don't have the whole truth. And we don't have the whole picture. But no one wants to admit that. We want to use religion itself to put ourselves up and to put other people down. As long as we're doing that, we have not passed the three great temptations. And all of them are temptations to the misuse of power. Now I hope we're ready to walk through this journey of Lent.